Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 16, 2016. In turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. You can also take an email and email me your prayer request or email me your phone number, and I will pray for you. I will call you if the need be. And if you want me to, I will print it out, take it to the mission church, anoint it with oil, and we will pray over it and even mail it back to you, and we will not solicit you for anything. Anyway, if you need help after this program, again, call me. I pray for you or with you. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. I'm just getting ready to return a phone call. Maybe the fellow's listening tonight, but he called me about a year ago, and he was losing his sight. He was seeing double and all kinds of things. And I prayed for him over the, over the telephone. And he left me a message the other day that said that he got his sight back, that the prayer worked, that he got his sight back. Well, that's a praise report. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, our radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime and consider. You know, like I brought it up in the last program, and I plan on bringing this up with Frank in a little bit, but remember, we are a KU band satellite program, which has a lot of programs of these kind of things on there, so to speak. So it isn't limited to the Internet, for the record. And if you get a satellite, I think you can get one from Frank for around $100. You can hear a lot of things that won't get censored anyway. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, and you can hear us on telephone in many different ways. So you go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and it will show you all the different things. And remember, our program archives can be found at ProphecyHour.com and Branch.Podomatic.com. That's Branch.Podomatic.com. Both are smartphone-friendly. On another note, I want to thank our listener base, which is worldwide, like places like Beijing, China, Guyana, Kaduna, Nigeria, Cali, Colombia, Paris, France, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, forget it, San Jose, California, New Jersey. Those folks out in San Francisco have been listening to my program this last week. I noticed that. New York, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when the podcast airs later tonight. Now a prayer, but I'm going to kind of hear the train whistle. Yeah, it's my last guest said it was funny. There's nothing I can do about it short of getting 5-foot-thick walls because the track is not very far away. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Tonight, I want to pray again for all the people who lost family or have wounded family or were themselves wounded in the last terrorist attack. I pray America will repent of her sins. But, Father, I really do not believe the whole nation will repent. So I pray that many will turn to you and back to you, meaning new believers, Father, and old believers. I pray, Father, that the people will wake up to the time that they're in before it is too late. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, next week we'll be having back on with us Philip Haney, one of the founding members of Homeland Security. He has much to say about the latest terrorist attack, and he was on with us 2 weeks ago. He wasn't popular. His book had just came out, and then the terrorist attack happened, and he has been all over different TV programs and news programs. Everybody's getting him on, but he agreed to come back on with us. Since then, he has a lot to say about how this terrorist attack happened. So look forward to that next week. Tonight I bring on with me Frank Stefan, who, you know, he's been on with me many times. I'm bringing him back on to talk about current events surrounding the latest attack. Frank has a radio program called The Frank Report. Tune into it. It's on ABR. Frank is also the producer of this program and the founder of ABR. So let's welcome Frank. Frank, are you there with me?
I am.
I thought maybe he was hiding.
Yeah, I am, but I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just going to start off by, what is your first feelings about this attack? Sadness, anger, what?
I guess anger, not angry because of why a lot of people think I would be angry. I'm angry because I really truly believe that this was a false flag. Now, that doesn't mean I believe it's a hoax. You know, there's a difference between a hoax and a false flag. You know, they can be a false flag and a hoax, but just because it's a false flag doesn't mean it has to be a hoax necessarily. Now, what I mean by that is I don't know how many people were shot or injured. I don't know if anyone was shot or injured, or if the stories we hear about 100 and whatever is true. I don't know that. And it doesn't matter to me, because the fact that it's a false flag is what matters to me, because I'm well aware, and people out there ought to be well aware also, that this government will kill. They'll kill the whole country to get their way if they have to. They don't care if they blow a whole airplane out of the sky to get one guy. They don't care if they have to burn down a whole city to get their agenda pushed forward. So whether the people are dead or not dead doesn't really matter. It matters to their families, but it doesn't matter in the big picture, because it's the perception that matters. And that's what they go by. And I do believe it's a false flag. And I've got a lot of evidence that points to a false flag.
Really? You're the first that I've heard come up with it. Doesn't mean that everybody else hasn't been doing. But this is what I'll say in general about it. Now, I don't know if it's a false flag. I saw, you know, a lot of people coming out of the place. I caught it on the news and everything. And I've seen doctors and hospital reports, but I'm not going to go into any of that. But I will say this, rapidly, Obama, or let's just say the administration, whatever, they are pushing and bringing, in fact, he's doubled down, he's bringing many more Syrians in here on fast track, many, many more Muslims, he's got the border open. You know, I think that he knows what the inevitable outcome will be. I think that they want to allow chaos to happen, because out of chaos they can create a new world order and they can have the new government they want, even per se, if they get enough chaos before the election, just like pushing gun control. If they were to say, okay, we're taking these certain guns, we're very, very close. Everybody's out buying guns. If they tell them to turn it back in, they could get a war, they could get martial law, ergo no election. And, you know, and did you see how mad he got? And there's the big one of the things. Did you happen to notice how mad he got when he came out after talking to his security advisors, and he was basically going to be forced to calling it radical Islamic terrorist, he was just so angry because that we would say that. So there's a lot going on there, and I believe that most of it is a contrived chaos order out of chaos. Back to you.
Well, you know, it's funny how the Hillary Clintons and the Barack Obamas and the talking heads on television can say, well, here's a guy who walked into somewhere, and let's just say the narrative is true. A guy, doesn't matter if he's Muslim or white or black or whoever, a guy or a girl, whoever, walks into wherever, doesn't matter, and shoots everybody. That it's the gun's fault. Then they will come right around and tell you the same thing. Well, it's not fair for you because one Muslim walks into a place and kills everybody. It's not fair for you to say all Muslims are bad because that one Muslim did this thing. Well, why is it okay to say because one person with a gun did something bad that all guns are bad and all gun owners are bad? There's 100 million gun owners in America, and they're not all out going shooting everybody. As a matter of fact, hardly anybody is. As a matter of fact, this man, if he is in fact the shooter, because I have real doubts that he even was, he could just be Lee Harvey Mati. For all, you know, we know.
Right.
But let's just again say, okay, fine, he's the guy. He walked in. Well, guess who he worked for? He worked for Wackenhut. Now, they keep saying GS4, because nobody knows what that is. Well, GS4 is a subsidiary of Wackenhut. Okay, Wackenhut is a private organization that has been in U.S. intelligence forever. They are the dirty tricks people of the intelligence community, and they always have been. He worked for Wackenhut as a security guard just 6 weeks before the shooting. He walked into a Florida gun shop and wanted to buy body armor. He was acting weird. He got on the phone, talked to somebody in a foreign language, and then asked about bulk ammo, and they thought this was suspicious. He was acting weird. They said, look, we're not gonna sell you anything. And then they called the FBI and reported him, and the FBI did nothing. This is a man who was already under investigation by the FBI for 10 years, three different times.
Yeah,
absolutely. How does this happen?
Okay, now going on along with that, you know, from what I've seen so far, I believe he is the guy, and I've seen the connections, you know, and you talk to his family and the different things. That does not mean that he was not set up and allowed to do it as the shooter, and going back to that for a reason. So let's look deeper, Frank. So what is the reason? Why do you think that they would want to slaughter before the election? Was it anything that I hit on? I mean, what do you think? Why would they want it?
Well, look at who it is. I mean, look what's been going on. What has been in the news? Oh, transvestites are using the bathrooms. Oh, homos need to be given all the same rights. And then, oh, all of a sudden, a Muslim goes in and shoots a bunch of homos. Well, gee. That's a bit much, isn't it, to say, oh, what a coincidence. Oh, and another little thing. Do you know that a day and a half before the shooting, General Petraeus, you know, the guy who gave his little prostitute, oh, did I say prostitute? Gosh, I meant biographer, okay? You know, classified documents? Yeah, he was found guilty of that, all right? And this guy and Hayden and all these other ex-Homeland Security Intelligence Agency admirals and generals decided to put together and guess what? A gun control group. Yeah, a day and a half before this. They want the guns. That's what I believe. Now, secondarily, sure, I believe they want the guns. Why do they want the guns, and why do they want them so now? You know, we got to have them now.
Right.
Well, for one, they're running out of time, and they know it. The thing is, it's a very good possibility now, and I'm not saying that I believe that's going to happen, but it's a real possibility that, you know, martial law will be declared because, I mean, I'm sure you are aware and have seen the news reports of Black Lives Matter conspiring with Obama administration people to cause disruptions at both the Democratic and Republican National Committees, you know, conventions, so that
they will have a reason to
declare martial law and postpone the elections.
Right. I will say this about that. I know that they're planning on it, and I know they've got together with some of the community organizing groups that Obama's completely connected to, the same ones that were paid to riot at Ferguson, and they did pay them, and so they then turned around and protested the place because they didn't get their money. They were supposed to get $5,000 a month. For doing these protests, for being agitators to start all that stuff. And so, yeah, I know, in fact, there's evidence they've been paid to do that at Trump rallies and so on and so forth. I believe that's what that all is they're trying to create martial law so that there's no election. Because I do honestly believe the media isn't, you know, they talk about all these polls and everything. I don't believe in polls at all, let alone, folks, polls are by, how many of you people have a telephone in your house? I mean, one that's hooked up to the wall, you know, the old-fashioned kind. Well, that's where they get the poll numbers from. They call people in their homes. They can't be right because most people are using smartphones. Right, exactly. So the polls aren't right.
There's something else, too. All the polls you see are on the media are called scientific polls.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Because they say, well, you know, these polls that you just go on a website and, it asks you a question and you pick your answer and then there
right.
it is. And all these things on some of the bigger websites have 500,000, 1 million people take this thing, right? So you
right.
get a big section of people showing you what it is, and they say, "Oh no, that's unreliable. You can't go by that. That you got to have a scientific poll." And that's where they take, you know, like 400 people out of the whole country, and they specifically
right.
pick these people scientifically,
right?
Because the science is this. Okay, now what is the scientific method? The scientific method is you come up with a theory, and then you go out and you're supposed to see through the evidence whether it's true or not. But what science has turned into, the scientific method, is you come up with a theory, and then you find the evidence to prove your theory. Not to see if it's right or wrong, but to prove your theory. And everybody knows out there's enough conflicting information on almost everything that exists, that if you
right.
try hard enough, you can prove anything. So the
scientific
method in polling is where they say, well, my theory is that Hillary Clinton is leading Donald Trump. So now I need to go get my group. We are going to call Democrats.
Right.
And we're going to call women.
Right.
Okay, and that's who we're going to call. That's going
right.
to be our group. And
right.
then more science comes into it, and they do a questionnaire on their group. And they ask questions like, do you believe in universal health care? Do you believe everyone should be treated equal? Do you believe, and if you say no, you're out of the group. So now, after they do all this, they have their group. And then more science comes into it when they formulate their question. Okay?
Right.
And they manipulate you. Everybody out there knows you can dictate the answer to a question by the way you ask the question.
Right. That's absolutely right.
Hey, Dan, tell me something. Dan, can you tell me something? I want to ask you a question. When did you stop beating your wife?
I have
yeah,
never.
Have you stopped?
I have
wife
never
yet?
Beat my wife.
Yeah. See, now you're not answering yes or no. You're out of the group.
Let me say that. That's the same thing they put on questionnaires for drug addicts and alcoholics. They'll say, "As an alcoholic, how do you feel about this?" So if you answer the question of, "Well, as an alcoholic, how do you feel about it?" Then it might be, "How do you feel about a banana?" And you say, well, I like bananas. Well, when you say you like bananas, you've admitted you're an alcoholic. That's what you're trying to say. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so these are the polls that we're looking at. Now, I say, okay, fine. That's all fun and games and all that. Even the polls, okay, even the polls are starting to show Hillary's only a couple of points ahead of Trump, and some of the polls even have Trump ahead. Now, all right, so that's fun and games, and we can look at this, believe them or not. But let's take a look at who's filling stadiums and who's getting 50 people to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
And you notice Donald Trump is filling stadiums.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it's an
NBA playoff game, okay?
Yeah.
It's full. And they got pictures of the whole place where, you know, okay, look, here, the whole place, there's people in all the seats. Then when you see the Hillary Clinton, it's this real close-up shot. Wow, look at all those people. But then when you pan out and you see the real picture, there's nobody.
Yeah.
There's like 100 people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how exactly is she winning in the polls when, you know, somebody's filling stadiums and she can't even fill a dining room?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. What I was going to say about that is that's the point. He is actually winning. Contrary to what all the news media says and everything, I believe if a race was run tomorrow, he would win. And they do not want them. You know how much danger he is to their New World Order thing, their globalist society, and all these other things? These people have spent too much time and money to do that. So if they're going to do anything that they can, if it takes bringing in 1 million Muslims into the country to have somebody to blame it on, or they will indeed do it themselves because the Muslims are, in fact, jihadian, whatever you want to call it. Point is they'll do whatever it takes. It will be a miracle. The only way Trump will become president is if God has his hand on him, and that's the end of that.
Well, I mean, I kind of believe that's true with anybody becoming president, you know, because it's just, you know, I don't think you're going to get there unless God does have his hand on you. But, and people need to remember, too, though, God uses evil people to bring about punishment upon the unrighteous also.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, so if we get Hillary Clinton,
Obama.
You can't say, oh, God turned his back. No, God might have said, no, you know what? I'm not turning my back. You're getting her. Because you know why? You deserve her.
Yeah. Just like we deserved Obama. That's the point. That we got the president we deserved. Okay, Frank, tell them when they can find your program, because I'm sure you're going to talk about this on it. When can they find your program?
Well, I come on at noon Pacific, and noon Pacific Monday through Friday, and I come on at 8 p.m. Pacific time Monday through Thursday. I take off Friday night. But
okay.
I do 2 hours on Monday, so I make up for it. I don't want anybody to think I'm slacking out there. But before we go to break, Dan, I want to ask you a question. This is a quote.
Okay.
The term moderate Islam is ugly and offensive. There is no moderate Islam. Islam is Islam. Who said that?
Well, I don't know who says it, but there is we'll talk about that when we get back. Islam. The people, let's go with this, and I'll say it for a break. People that radical Islam would be somebody that's Islamic and being peaceful. Somebody that's out there killing people is just doing what their book says. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we ask you at this time to pray about supporting our work with the homeless and poor from our Mission Church in Wichita, Kansas. And, of course, the homeless are poor. And so you notice we're asking you folks over the radio. You know, we used to get support by a mail-out newsletter that we did, and now mail-out newsletters, they just don't bring in too much because everybody goes to the Internet for their information. And so it's the same way with a lot of things. It's all the Internet. Well, we used to do an email list, and we'd get donations in that way from the Internet. But now, you know, people don't do that. They're all on social media, and it's really hard. I don't go on social media to raise money. It's just really hard. It's just not built as a vehicle for that. But radio, so I ask on radio for you to help support the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we've been doing this 17 years. Well, we're in our 17th year. We started that in June. So radio is where it's at. You know, we get people food, clothing, Bibles, first aid, over-the-counter medications, all these things, and many, many miracle prayers, you know. You can't believe how many. But I got to ask tonight for help with radio. I said it on my other program, but I'm going to repeat myself, which I don't like to do. But on my other radio program, I told Will, it was like last week, did you folks notice there was a missing program? Well, there was a missing program a couple of weeks ago because we started radio, and all of a sudden, my computer just crashed. It just shut off. And you see, we use Skype. Because I have a mixer board and it goes through the computer and we get Skype through a computer. So that's a whole separate computer and even a screen than my computer that I'm looking at right now that has the news on it and has some call notes and things on it. That's a whole different computer. Well, that computer today, when I went to start it up, it took me 3.5 hours to figure out how to get running. I had to go inside and do some things, unplug stuff and plug it back in. And finally, we got it started. It could crash at any time. And, you know, how would that sound to one of these, you know, I get some really important people on here talking, like the guy that's going to be one of the founders of Homeland Security. I'm going to be talking to him next week. How do you think that would go over him if my computer drops and all of a sudden he's not talking to me, you know? And that's not on American Voice Radio, that's on me. And so we really need to replace that computer. I talked with a tech guy today, and he said, well, you know, it could be a number of different things, meaning that basically you have to replace everything in the computer, and he said you might as well just buy a new computer. Well, we don't have the funds for that. We're in a summer slump. People are off. Even our listening audience drops a little bit in the summer. But people are off doing other things and using their money for other things, and so we really need your help. I need another computer. In fact, with all of the equipment that I need for this office, you know, I need about $1,500 or $2,000, you know, or if you want to buy a good computer with a hard drive that has a couple of terabytes in it, you know, send it to me, but it's got to be compatible then with my you realize the mixer board hooks up to it, so it has a special sound card that is like $400. And so, you know, I have to have that too. So, you know, point is I need about $1,500 to $2,000 to fix that computer. So you can hear me on radio. So if you love these programs, pray about a donation for radio. If you send a donation by check or money order, you know, that's fine. But make sure that you point out onto it that it's for radio. Otherwise, it'll go into the mission fund and we'll be taking care of the people with it. So you have to say it's for radio. I appreciate it when we have people send me money online. You know, you can do that. You can go to our website and find a place to do that. Do that. I mean, that's one way to do it. Point is that you can mark on it then also that it is for radio. Make sure that you say it's for radio if it's to help out. We really need it. And this isn't a want. this is indeed a need, you know. But folks, remember, we are responsible to care for each other because we are brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And make sure you tune in next week because we got a couple of good guests with us next week. And now we're back with Frank Stefano, who does the Frank Report. You still with me, Frank?
Like I am.
You are? Okay. Where do you want to pick this back up?
Well, I do want to tell people that quote that I gave. You kind of left them hanging with the suspense thing just to keep people listening. I know you.
Tell it over.
That quote, I guess I should say it again so people who, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Lost their spot there like I have. Where is it?
Oh, you wrote it down.
There it is. The term moderate Islam is ugly and offensive. There is no moderate Islam. Islam is Islam. That is the Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan, that evil SOB over there in Turkey that is causing... He'll probably be the cause of World War III before it's all over.
Yeah, amen. You know, some people believe that he'll be... Turkey will be part of the army that, you know, goes against Israel. But let me say this about that quote. That you really caught me off guard. Point is I really believe that, I do believe Islam is basically Islam. I believe the ones that you call radical, remember that guy that we had on here a long time ago that was an Islamic guy, you know, that did all that talking?
Yep.
He explained it. I can't remember his name offhand, but... he explained it that way, that the people that are seen normal or just Islam, those people are the people that are out there doing the killing and trying to push for Allah and trying to take over the world. The ones that aren't doing anything and are trying to be just peaceful and would never have any part of that are indeed would actually be the radicals or, you know, the not normal, you know, Muslim. But you're right. I just believe that, you know, it's just all one thing. Well, you know, some of them are just
the way I look at it, because I actually took the time to try to go read parts of the Quran, okay, how's this Quran work? Well, the Quran does not work the way the Bible works, because the Bible, you take the Bible as a whole. You can't cherry pick the Bible. You're not supposed to cherry pick the Bible, even though that's what pastors do day in and day out. And lay people do the same thing. They pick a verse that goes along with what they want to hear, and there you go. And, you know, wait a minute, but you're taking that totally out of context. You're not, you don't understand who he was even talking to or what he was talking about and what comes before and what comes after, and they just pick it and say it. Well, you're not supposed to do that with the Bible. The Bible is to be taken as a whole. The Quran is not. The Quran is to be taken as if something contradicts, it directs you in the Quran that if something contradicts, you must take the thing that was written last, and that is the controlling verse, not the first one. So if the first one says, oh, in chapter 1 it says, oh, love your neighbor, be nice to everybody, and then chapter 2 says, unless they don't go along with Islam, then you got to kill everybody and hate them. Well, people go, well, now look, see, live in peace and love everybody, it says right here in the Quran. Yeah, but after that, it says to kill everybody. And if the Quran itself directs you how to read it. You take what comes last, that is the controlling.
Right.
Not the first. It wipes out the first. It's like it was, you know, erased and this replaced with this. That's how the Quran works. There is no moderate Muslims. Okay? They are all directed. They have been commanded by their imams and whoever's in charge of that crazy religion that it is jihad.
Right.
Now, you are either going to partake in jihad or you are an infidel. And you will be killed by your supposed own kind. Now, jihad does not necessarily mean everybody's got to saddle up with, you know, suicide bombs and, you know, and automatic weapons and go start shooting up the place, right?
Right.
You can do your part as jihad to support those people, to hide those people, to cover for those people, to sit and lie to Christians' faces, because the Quran, like the Talmud, I might add, says it's okay to lie to everybody. As long as you are promoting Islam by lying, completely okay, and it is part of jihad. Like, what's her name? Abedin. She is committing jihad in her way.
Yeah.
Okay, she's not shooting up the place. But she is passing on secrets. She is influencing our leaders. She's probably blackmailed Hillary Clinton to the point where she can't do anything except what she's doing.
Right.
That's part of jihad. It's kind of like we try to tell people, look, do whatever you can. If all you can do is put a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, you know, oppose tyranny. Well, if that's all you can do, then do it. Don't sit there and say, well, I can't do anything. Well, you could do that. Oh, yeah, I could do that. Well, then do it. That's the same with jihad. Maybe you're not, it's not your job, it's not your role to go out and shoot the place up, but it is your role to get into government, infiltrate, lie, you know, and obfuscate and cover for the ones that are. And that's what jihad is. And if you're not involved in jihad and you're calling yourself a Muslim, you are an infidel, and your own people are going to end up killing you.
Right. Well, let's go with this. I believe it's a form of jihad that they are doing, in the sense that there's been a lot of talk about it, and I agree with them as they say, you know, there's some first generation people that were brought into this country, and they didn't really assimilate. And so the real danger is in their offspring, like this kid was. You know, this kid, his dad believes he's the real president of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I don't know whether he's nuts or what. I haven't researched that part. But was it his dad's ideology that fueled him? But there's the point. That's still a form of jihad. By not assimilating into America, what are they doing? Because eventually they want Sharia law and they want to change America.
Listen,
Obama knows that, and he brings them in here. So,
well, listen,
what is
it? Here's the truth of the matter.
Go ahead.
As a Muslim, they cannot assimilate into our culture. Okay?
Very good.
They cannot. It is against their religion. All right? It is against their religion. They cannot assimilate into this society, and they won't. And they can't. And you know what? It's unreasonable and it's unrealistic to believe that they will. And there's people out there, I'm sure, that say, well, I know a Muslim guy and he's okay and his family's okay and everything else. Well, they're not Muslims. They might wear a rag on their head and pretend to be Muslims, but they're not Muslims, and their own people do not view them as Muslim if they are not partaking in jihad. Just the bottom
that
line.
Guy's name, before I forget it, that guy's name is Al Razuli. I have a link on my website, but go ahead, back to you.
No, that's right. I remember him. He was good to listen to.
I know. I had him on, I think, more than any other guest. I think I had him on for about 10 weeks in a row because I was getting educated.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the whole thing, you know, and he actually was one of the people that encouraged me to actually go online and start, well, gee, I realized, gosh, I don't really know that much about Islam, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, I know their book's called the Quran, and I've heard some things, but I really don't know that much about it. And I did the same thing through just curiosity about Mormons, okay? Because we had Mormons around here, and, we used to can food down there, and they were real nice, and they said, oh, hey, have you ever read the Book of Mormon? And I said, no, and they gave me one, and I thought, oh, okay. And I read, I don't know, maybe a third of it, because it, I just put it, after about a third of it, I put it down, like, you know what, I'll get my sci-fi on TV, you know, I don't need this, this is just,
really?
You know... Yeah, a little bit much to take as you serious, right? But, you know, really, folks, you got to do that. You can't just take people's word for what things are. You've got to search this stuff out yourself. I mean, do the best you can. You might not think you're a very good researcher, but you know what? You're a better researcher than if somebody's lying to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's something that really freaked me. You know what? I've never really snooped around that much in a, you know, Facebook. And I said it on the last program. Of course, you heard me if you was listening. But I went on a guy that was an old friend, and I even unfriended him because I didn't want to listen to his garbage anymore. But I've known him for years. He's helped out at the Mission Church. But I went over to his Facebook yesterday and looked around, and you wouldn't believe the blatant lies. You know, most people on the left, they're if you ask them a question about what they just said, all they know is the title to the thing. They don't know the story. They just know the title. And so they don't know anything. And you wouldn't believe the garbage that's in the left side. If we believe what the left side is, we deserve to be enslaved because that's what they're doing.
And they come up with some ridiculous premises. You know, it's like the whole, oh, somebody got shot. We have to ban all guns. Oh, okay. Well, you know, it was a Muslim homosexual.
Ban all the Muslim homosexual?
Yeah, but you can't. But then you tell us, well, you can't blame all the Muslims for what one Muslim does. But you can't blame one homosexual for all, you know, you can't blame all the homosexuals for what one homosexual does. But
right.
We can blame all the guns and all the gun owners on what one person did with a gun. It doesn't make any sense. It's.
But it does make sense because they want the guns because they want to enslave us.
Well, I understand their agenda, but their reasoning really ought to set people off. And well, it wasn't for the public school dumbing down of the people. People would understand right away. Wait a minute. What do you mean ban guns? This is one shooting with one guy with one gun, and we're supposed to ban all the guns. Okay, fine. If that's the reason, let's ban all Muslims. Let's ban all homosexuals, too, because he was a Muslim homosexual. So we can't have any of that.
I got it. Let's ban the FBI because they've been watching him, and they let him go and said he was all right.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Even
a gun store called up and said, hey, wait a minute. We got a maniac down here that wants to buy a gun. Maybe you ought to look into it. Ah! It's okay. We've already looked into him. He's okay. And besides, if you go and look after the show on ABR's website, we got a new feature there. Just put it up 2 days ago. Pictures.
Yeah, I like that.
And I add more, I say I add more every day, but I might not add more every day, but I collect them every day.
Right.
And I've got a bunch more I'm going to put on, you know, today. That, and one of them is a picture of this guy in his little security guard uniform.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy worked for Wackenhut, which is a Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security contractor.
Yeah, that, yeah. I seen one of those little boxes like you're talking about the other day. It was talking about how Obama didn't really want him to look deeply into this shooting because he worked for the government.
Well, I mean, okay, look, I mean, you work for Homeland Security, all right? You're a contractor for Homeland Security as a security guard. The FBI has investigated you 3 times over 10 years. You got reports from gun stores calling the FBI saying, this guy is something weird about him. And yet, they don't do anything. And then Comey gets on there and says, well, you can't blame the FBI for this. And by the way, we need to ban everybody's guns.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Why don't we ban government? He worked for the government. You know, I mean, really, he was a government employee. He was a contractor for the government. So let's ban that. But that doesn't work, see, because the liberals are insane is what it is. And they're not liberals, by the way, okay? They are globalists.
They're communist globalists is what they are.
Well, because globalism is communism.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it really is. And they weren't joking way back in 1917 when they called it the Worldwide Communist Revolution.
Right.
They didn't say the Russian Communist Revolution. It was the Worldwide Communist Revolution. Have you ever looked at a picture of Lenin?
Yeah.
He looks Oriental. He looks Asian.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
You know?
He absolutely looks Oriental.
Yeah, and who else is the big communist? China.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this is where this is all coming out of.
Absolutely. You know, people, when the Soviet Union fell, you know, Gorbachev said, you know, told the people, he said, don't be excited or,
you
know.
He made that speech in front of the Politburo in the Soviet Union telling them not to panic.
Right. He said this is just for outward consumption. They have never got away from it. In fact, there's some good books and there's some things out there where they laid out everything that's happened to America, and they laid it out years ago and said, this is how we're going to defeat America, and not by bombs. We're going to do it this way. And practically every one of those goals has been accomplished.
You know what's amazing to me, though, is this Russian paranoia in America, and people really, and I was a victim of it too. Okay, when I was a kid, I mean, I really was. I bought into it lock, stock, and barrel, man. I hated those darn commies over there in that Soviet Union. And so much so that when my mother, you know, who was Finnish, we went on a summer vacation to Finland, we had an opportunity to take a ferry from Helsinki to what was called then, it's St. Petersburg now, but it was Leningrad then. And it was the only open Soviet city, you know, open to tourism.
Right.
You couldn't just go take a vacation in Moscow. But you could go to Leningrad. And I refused to go because I didn't want to have nothing to do with those darn commies. You know?
Right. And
it still persists today, but if you look at what's going on in Russia is actually, the people of Russia have more freedoms than we have here in the United States. And I'm not just saying that. That's not just a blah, blah, blah. You can go and you can look and look at their regulations. Look what they're allowed to do. Look what they're not allowed to do. And then look at us. Then we look around at the aggression we hear about, that Russian aggression. Well, now, let me ask you, Dan, what would you do if your neighbor one day decided to get his whole family together and get all their automatic rifles and stand on your property line and point rifles at your house? Well, what would you do?
Well, I'd probably
Would you
be
maybe
playing.
Get your rifle, too, and figure, well, I better get ready here, you know, because...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you would defend yourself.
Yeah, well, that's what's going on with Russia. And every time, oh, but then, you see, that whole mob standing around your house pointing guns at you, Dan, when you went and got your gun... They'd say, look at Dan, he's being aggressive. Look at that Dan, he's trying to pick a fight, that Dan is. That's what the United States is doing to Russia. We are encircling them with missiles in Poland and Romania and taking over their Ukraine, overthrowing a government right on their border during their Olympics. And because they dare to move their army near their own border, we say that's aggression. It's insanity. And then we do the exact same thing to the Chinese. We start floating our battleships, our battle wagons, our carrier groups through the South China Sea so they build an island so they can put an airstrip there. Oh, we call that an act of aggression. It's like, wait a minute. Who's in whose backyard here? It is, after all, the South China Sea. It's not the West American Sea. You know, it's insane that we and people go, yeah, those dirty, rotten, slopes over there and those rotten commie Russians, well, we got to do something about them. I read this day in and day out from these supposed experts, and it's not true. It's a false narrative. False as, hey, if you all just give up your guns, everybody will be a lot safer and there'll be no more shootings.
Oh,
just like
please.
In Chicago, Dan. you know, where they took away all the guns there? There's no more shootings there.
Oh really?
Except that there are. You know, and we all cry about Fifth getting shot in Orlando, right? Hey, man, that's just another weekend in Chicago.
Right. Well, look, Frank, I'm running out of time. Tell them when the Frank Report is again, and I appreciate you being on with me to have your Frank comment.
Noon and 8 p.m. Pacific time, except on Fridays, 8 p.m. is not on, but you can tune in anyway. There's a really good show on then, too. It's called Survival Time.
Great. Well, folks, I hope you really like Frank, because I plan on having him on this program at least once a month to wake us up to the frankness of things. We'll talk again, Frank.
Thanks,
okay.
Eric.
Yeah, amen. Well, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, you know, and, you know, no matter where your thought pattern is, it is dangerous and the world is in turmoil out there. It doesn't matter if it's false flags, if it's Muslims, if what. You could go to a football game and you could get shot. You could go to your kid's basketball game and shot. You could go to a movie theater and get shot. You better be right with Yeshua HaMashiach. You better have a personal relationship if you intend on being safe. To me, my best advice is get out of a big city, move to a rural community. Also, the thing is this summer, don't go to any big events with lots of people. It could be the last big event of your life, so to speak. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting radio. We really need some equipment replaced. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.